For he is Lord, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord.
Thus Christ is Lord. God bless you. God bless you this afternoon. Greet you in the name of the Lord. You may be seated. This group right here gets a star. Look how nice and packed this section is tonight. See me after service. I'll give all of you a gold star. I was handed, or it was placed on my desk, the prayer request for Sister Naomi Martin. When Brother Frank Dutton and his son Joshua were here a couple weeks ago, they brought me up to date on Brother John Martin's health. He had suffered a stroke some time ago, wasn't it, Brother Nate, a year or so ago? And I know that he's been incapacitated. And Sister Naomi, a very faithful wife, has taken care of him. And she's the one that made those prayer handkerchiefs that the brothers so readily shared with us the other day to show us. And she makes those blankets for those children with AIDS. And I just couldn't believe this when I got this afternoon, because I know the effect this is going to have on Brother John Martin and those five or six churches that they're in fellowship with. This is their mother. She's a spiritual foundation for a lot of these people. She even won Brother John to the Lord before they got married. She's the one who witnessed to him and got him to accept the Lord Jesus. And I've always had nothing but the highest of respect for her. And her children, they're in the ministry. She's a mother that's done that. And I just don't have the answer for what Brother John's going to do. I trust that there'll be no after effects or side effects from this, but they say massive heart attack. You know, that made me think, they're about our age. And I thought of Brother Billy Paul. You know, he had five bypasses. Without those, he would have had a massive heart attack. And Brother McHugh has had one. Brother Vernon Harris can tell you about this. Thank the Lord what medical science can do to help us today. But I see Sister Vaughn shaking her head. Like that, Brother Vaughn was gone. And his was a heart attack, which we didn't expect. So let's just believe God's going to strengthen everybody's heart.
Amen.
Start with mine.
Yes.
Yours.
Amen.
And because that's the number one killer today. Please remember Sister Naomi, Brother John, and all those people. I enjoyed sharing with you people this morning some of the things that I felt I had found in the scriptures and in the current events and in Brother Branham's quotes. And when you do something like this, there's sometimes when you have some repetition, so you please forgive me. I'm not intending to repeat it, but sometimes when there's so much, you don't remember what you said about the other and until you mention and you see everybody sort of frown about it. We almost want something new every statement, you know. Something we didn't know before. It's been that way since Eve wanted to have greater wisdom.
Yeah.
This is what some people call stimulation, is a new fact or a new revelation that they can have every time. But I'm sure that I said some things this morning that many of you have heard for years, but then there's other things that maybe some of you had never heard. Maybe you never stopped to perceive it or think about it. And I can tell you that when I made that statement about the bride leaving Revelations in chapter 4 and then not coming back till 19. That was a new thought to a lot of people. And how many times has Brother Branham said that? He says it, but then we go right on and just read right on, no paying attention to it. And let me tell you this, because I forgot to say it this morning. Brother Branham said, you won't get Revelations right until you get Daniel right.
Amen.
He said that. I didn't. He said that. Unless you understand Daniel, you will never understand Revelations. I didn't say that. Brother Branham said that.
Amen.
So you need to understand the sixfold purpose. The 70 weeks of Daniel. Gabriel's visit and his instructions to Daniel. If you want to put things in a proper perspective and understand Bible prophecy, you need to go back to the beginning of the prophecy. Don't jump in the middle of it.
Amen.
And try to see where God's going with it. Because, you know, God didn't, thank God, he didn't reveal it to us that way. You know, if he'd have just revealed himself to us as we know the Lord today, it would have blinded people back in the other ages.
Right.
It would have been like somebody putting a bolt of lightning right in their face. That's the reason I say so often, we know more about God than any generation's ever known.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And yet, we seem to perceive less because we have, in our society, become so self-reliant. So self-dependent. We don't have to pray for our daily bread. We don't have to wonder where our next meal is coming from.
Amen.
We don't have any physical hardships and so forth. Just uncomfortable of your bed that you, the heater wasn't right or something.
Think about it.
But we're living in the most deceptive age the world has ever known. But we're also living in the most wonderful age.
Amen.
For any child of God to ever live. And we're seeing more prophecies fulfilled than any other generation of people. Even more than back in the early 1900s. There were things that was happening which we're now seeing the consummation of them. Some of the things that started back there then that we felt were so innocent, we're now seeing the results of them. And the effect it's having on us. You challenged me on that thought. Well, you know, prior to 1948, there wasn't Israel. The fig tree wasn't putting forth her bud. But since then, look how many resolutions have been passed by the United Nations against Israel. That's enough right there to show there's something going on.
Amen.
Over 50% of the resolutions that the United Nations has passed has been about the nation of Israel. Why is it that anything can happen over there and it's headlines of all the papers of the world wide over? There's more people killed in Chicago every week than dies in Israel in a year. But let something happen in Israel and everybody talks about it.
Amen.
And why is it that regardless of what Israel does, somebody's always trying to put the blame on them?
Right.
It's like so many young people today, they go wrong or something and it's their parents didn't treat them right. That's prophecy being fulfilled too. They lay that, and it's been that way ever since Adam and Eve. She made me do it. He made me do it.
Right.
The serpent made me do it.
Amen.
That's the same spirit.
Right.
I mentioned to you about the president of Iran this morning and the speech he made to the United Nations and a couple of things I left out which were important to me. You know, I told you that he makes the statement that Israel should be wiped off the face of the map, and we hear that repeated all the time, and we say that's the reason we can't let him have an atomic bomb. But he comes along and he said, the days of bombs are over. And you don't have to have a bomb to wipe Israel off the map. What you have to do is have a democratic election and let everybody vote and the Palestinians would vote Israel out of existence. Well, he's right. Now, that's his testimony. That's his propaganda. But yet he supports all the terrorists in Iraq, the Hezbollah, and in there, the Palestinians in Israel. That's where a lot of the money comes from. Some of the people that even bombed us, they were Iranians. Their religion tells them that they can lie to us because we're infidels.
Right.
And it don't matter what they tell us.
True.
And then he'll go so far to say that, like you can say, well, Israel is existence. You got to put up with it. And he says, well, apartheid at one time was in existence, but we didn't put up with it. We got rid of it. And you know, it becomes an argument that somebody that don't know the scriptures, they begin to be lulled into this and say, yeah, that's right. I can remember a time that Janice and I were coming back from New Orleans from the wedding of her sister. And we were on an airplane. It's the first time I ever met Mr. Paulin. He's the man who owned the Cadillac place and the Oldsmobile place down here on Broadway. And he's the person who told me that he had been to a meeting. And he said, there is no way that America can continue to support the 4 million Jews in Israel and forget about the 50 million Arabs that's their neighbors. Now, he's the first American businessman that I'd ever heard tell me that, look, it don't make sense to back Israel, just the few they are compared with the 50 million. You know, then it's the same way. Well, China's got 1.3 billion. So it's not sensible for us to support Taiwan, Formosa, against China, because there's only about 12 or 14 million of them, but there's a 1.3 billion Chinese. Well, you know, you gotta decide it. Well, okay, well, it's better for 13 million to die than to make the 1.3 billion unhappy. That comes right down to it. That, you know what, us old folks, we're in the way. You young folks ought to kill us all. And then you wouldn't have to worry about our welfare and take care of us when we got Alzheimer's.
Come on.
Or when we're sick. You see where it deteriorates society into when you start thinking like that?
Yes, sir. Right.
But this is the propaganda they bring with it.
Amen.
The majority don't always rule. They try to, but remember that you and God are a majority.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
He's not democratic. He's a dictator.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God. There's none like me. You don't think like me. You don't act like me. You can't even know what I know. And the only reason that you're alive is because he's loved you enough to let you stay alive.
Amen. Amen.
That's right, brother.
I've often said God's conceited. Anybody stand up and say, I'm right and you're wrong? You're never right. I'm always right. There's none like me. If I said that, you'd say he's conceited.
Yeah.
But that's what God does. But you know, you're conceited too. You may not realize that. But do you know anybody you would trade faces with? Yeah, I'd like to look like this one. No, you wouldn't. You look at yourself in the mirror and you primp and you comb that hair and you wash that face and shave the beard off of it. And you may say, well, that's a good looking man. Well, okay, would you like to take his face and put it on you? You'd say, oh, no, I don't think so. Well, then you must think you're the prettiest thing there is. See, we're not even honest about it. Would you like to trade your life with somebody else's life? You don't know what you're talking about. You know what you know, but you're so limited with it. That you wouldn't trade with them because I don't know anybody don't have problems.
Amen.
And you couldn't handle their problems. So what does the Bible say? Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
To be satisfied, content with what God has made you and what He's given you and where you are.
Amen.
It's always this wanting somebody else or something else that creates your ambition, your desire, that makes you unhappy. That creates your disappointments. You look at young people. They so often they live with their parents and they become bored with them, but just let some stranger come along and offer something new and something exciting, and they forget their parents.
Oh my. Amen.
It's amazing how some old ugly-looking boy can come along and take a beautiful girl and change her mind. Her mother don't know nothing. Her daddy don't know nothing. They don't want me to have no fun.
Come on. Oh my. Amen.
They One of my daughters told me one time, all I want to do is get married and leave here so I can have some fun. You want to talk to Tina now? I knew what she was saying. She didn't mean it. But we're like that too. We've not been content. Sister Gastelum is back. And she was telling me she went to several churches while she was gone. And she said, no place like Tucson Tabernacle. No place like our pastor. Well, I like that. And you know what? I've told you people too, if you can find a better place, I'm not against you going there. If you're not against us. And I'll tell you, when you leave, it's a pity you can't leave your biggest problem behind. And that's yourself. You are the worst enemy you've got.
Amen.
Now, as a pastor, we have to learn to take this. Because it's just like when I made the announcement on what I did about the women and the men. And Doe, I'd warn you, there's some people that say, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, you know what? That shows a state of rebellion.
Amen.
If they were really sincere with God about their soul, they'd want to know, am I doing something wrong? They wouldn't say, well, I heard that before. You see, they're in a state of rebellion and don't even realize it. It's the same thing about these prophecies I'm bringing you now. They're not here to inform you. They're here to show you that God knows what's going on. And if He lets us know, then it just makes us more desperate.
Amen.
As you've said tonight, it makes you want to be closer to God. You want to make sure you're right.
Amen.
That's the reason the people went to Jeffersonville to hear Brother Branham bring the seals. They won't know what time it was. We've all been curious about the future. But you see, Brother Branham taught me this lesson. Brother Green, some people think they want to know the future, but they really don't want to know the future.
Right. Amen.
You really don't know you don't want to know everything going to happen to you tomorrow. Brother Branham and I were riding horses up there in the wilderness, and he mentioned this to me, and he said, you take Brother Green, said, if you had any confidence in me and I were to see you in an automobile accident, the worst thing I could do is tell you I saw you in an accident. He said, because then from then on, if you had any confidence in me, every time you got in the car, you'd be a word.
Yeah.
And I turned around, I said, you did? No, don't tell me if you did. He said, now you got it. We think we want to know the future, but we don't. But here's the thing. If God reveals something to it, it belongs to all of us.
Amen.
And there's a purpose for it.
Amen.
Now, this man is a propaganda specialist. He's a cool cookie under pressure. He knows just how to say it to not influence somebody that knows the scriptures or believes in God. But the majority of the people in America don't. And the scriptures don't mean anything to them. God don't mean anything to them. And for a man like him in his position to get up and talk to them, they say, hey, that makes sense. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, those people are persecuting him. And he kept talking about how many women and children the Israelis kill. Never mentioned the rockets or anything like that. Talk about the invasion of them invading Lebanon and How many people were killed and wounded there? But didn't talk about Israel went in there because they were raining rockets down on them.
Amen.
Or from the Gaza Strip in the West Bank they were doing it. He didn't mention that.
Right.
But just how many women and children are they going to kill before the world sees what butchers these Zionists are? That's he who spreads discord and hatred. God hates that.
Amen.
When Larry King told him, said, well, South Africa was about Israel being there and had to be. Well, South Africa wasn't. It didn't take a bomb to change apartheid. Russia, the Soviet Union, it didn't take a bomb to do that. There, if I'd have been Larry King, I'd have said, yeah, it was sanctions that did it, and that's what we're going to do on you. But nobody wanted to offend him. But when he said, Larry King, you come see my country. Well, Larry King, he just got right in the middle. Oh, man, yes, sir. Get to go to Iran and interview these people. The Ayatollah Khomeini and this man and to see these things and then broadcast what they wanted him to see. Well, man, think of the millions that'd be worth to him in advertisement. How many people would watch it? It's the motive that they had with it.
Amen.
He mentioned that the International Atomic Energy Commission had never brought a sanction against him. That's right, because he's never let them inspect everything. They've had more inspections than any other nation ever had. Yes, that's true. But they haven't seen it all because, like Saddam Hussein, he wouldn't let them see it.
Right.
So what did they do? They assumed he had it because he used it on his own people. He brought out about 109 nations, and the United Nations was in favor of what he was doing. That's right. That's a majority out of 182. He's the one that mentioned they got 57 Islamic sister nations, he called them, that agree with him. Yes, sir, they do. But then he turns around and denies the Holocaust. There's no proof that it happened, he said. There are experts who say it did, and there's experts who say it didn't. Why don't we let a nonpartisan commission examine it and do that and come forth with it? Well, I'll tell you why I believe there's a Holocaust, because I was there. I saw it. I saw some of the pictures. You go to the Yad Vashem Museum in Jerusalem, you can see them. I have been to Germany. I've been to these places. I've been to Poland. I've seen these. I've been to Russia. I've seen in the Bar Kiva there where they did that. Brother Branham said he stood there and saw it. And when Brother Branham says it happened, I believe it happened. And Brother Bram said there was a purpose for it. But you see, they're such propagandists that they're beginning to get the majority of the people in the world to believe it didn't even happen. Just like in the Quran, there is no mention of Jerusalem. But Yasser Arafat's uncle, who was the head Muslim priest in Jerusalem, 100 years ago, he came up with this thing. This is the place that Muhammad came and ascended from here into heaven to get the Quran, the Holy Scriptures for us. Muhammad don't mention this. But they told that story so often until the majority of the people in the world believe that that's the third most holy place in the Muslim faith. Therefore, they have a right to the Temple Mount. About 25 years ago, when the Jewish people, after 1967, began to excavate around the walls of the temple, they got down about 15 or 20 feet below the ground surface, and they found a hole about this big through the corner of the wall of the temple. And the Muslims came out right away. Oh, that's where Muhammad tied his horse. The Jews just kept digging. That horse would have to be 111 feet tall. Because they dug down to the bedrock. They dug down to the street, the paving stones, where it was in the early centuries. But nobody ever comes out and does that because that would be making fun of one of their holy sites. But yet the majority of the people in the world believe their propaganda.
Yeah. Amen.
As I say, Jerusalem is not even mentioned in the Quran. Not once. But look how many times it's mentioned in the Jewish scriptures and in the New Testament.
Amen.
But what is their purpose? Is to occupy that place to keep prophecy from being fulfilled. The last time that piece of property traded hands, David bought it. It's still legally registered in his name. He bought the threshing floor of Arunah. And then Solomon built the temple on that place.
Amen.
Then Ezra rebuilt it. Then Herod built the last one until the Romans destroyed it. And then in the 7th century, the Muslims built a mosque there called the Dome of the Rock. It's often referred to as the Mosque of Omar, but the Mosque of Omar is over near the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And this is their third most important mosque, but they don't want it to be destroyed. But I'll tell you this, the scripture says that it will be. There's been Australians and other people going there and set them afire and tried to blow them up and so forth. They talk about this. But the Bible talks about an earthquake that'll cause it to fall. And that I believe.
Amen.
And they're not going to be able to. They will blame it on the Jews for having an earthquake. You watch. I'm going to prophesy that. They will blame it on the Jews for having that. So. One point he does make, he says, if the Holocaust happened, and that was a crime against humanity, then why did the powers of Europe and the world come to Palestine, the Middle East, and carve out a homeland for the Jews in this place? Why didn't they give them one in Germany or France or Poland? Why did they come and punish the Palestinians and put these Zionists right in there and take their homes and everything away from them and create 5 million refugees, where Israel has taken in over 3.5 million refugees from their countries? Not a one of them is without a home. They took care of their own, but these people, it's to their advantage to keep them refugees, keep them like prisoners, and encourage them to have children and raise these young men and women that can become terrorists and suicide bombers, and teach them in their schools to hate the Jews. Teach the children how to kill one of them if they can. This is the evil that there, and that's the reason that our government says it's an axis of evil. It's a terrorist government. But yet, there will be no peace until there's peace in Jerusalem. And so the whole world cries out for peace, peace. The Bible says there be peace. But remember this, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what you're praying for is the coming of their Messiah. Because the scripture says there be no peace till a Prince of Peace comes. A rabbi once asked me when I first went to Israel with our folks, and they had met him, and one of the five most important rabbis in the world asked me. He called me Rabbi Green. He said, Rabbi Green, he said, when Moshef comes, well, I have to believe in Jesus Christ. And where I got the answer, I'll have to say I believe it came the Lord. I said, Rabbi, when your Messiah comes, you will say it's his first coming, and I'll say it's his second. He looked at me and said, to be a young man, you're very wise. But that's the truth.
Yes.
Their Messiah will be the one I call Jesus.
Amen.
He was.
Yes.
He was their Messiah.
Amen.
Now, I named off to you this morning a number of things that the Bible says that are prophecies of the end time. And I said I was going to break this down into different categories. Number one, the things that have been fulfilled in 2007 and 8. The things that's leading up to Armageddon, which even President Reagan believed in. Sarah Palin believes in it. Then I want to show you the danger of the national identification system in reference to the mark of the beast. And then the peace of the Middle East and the war that we're in today. Is there anybody today that can say how to end this war? It's not one where we can kill all the enemy. It's not one where we can negotiate with them because they won't negotiate. We're in a situation that there is no government that has the answer that will get them to be at peace. America is in for it's a hard times. This thing of our bailout now and the failures of our banks and so forth, I believe is only the beginning of an end that's coming.
Amen.
Neither one of our presidential candidates has the answer. Our Congress don't have the answer. Our judges, our president don't have the answer. And Brother Branham talks about time of pressure, a hard time. He even says in a couple of places, the time will come when the bride will have to depend on the elements.
Right.
Why do you think God let him speak the squirrels into existence?
Amen.
You think you'd ever be hungry enough that you'd finally say, well, it's time and I believed what God said? And you speak and God would provide it? Why do you think that Jesus gave us the example of the fishes and the loaves? Did he just want to have a couple of banquets? Or did he leave us an example?
Amen. Right.
That if we can believe, and we will believe, and we're going to be required to believe. Right now, we thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless it. Thank you for our body. Amen.
Come on.
But if it was scarce, hard to come by. Lord, we thank you for this. Multiply it, Lord. Did he multiply the meal and the oil for the widow woman? Does not the Bible say all these things happen and are recorded for our edification that we might know how to trust God?
Amen. Yes.
One of the most serious things that's going to happen is the restoration of the Holy Roman Empire. And that's probably the part of this subject I'll get to cover tonight. But let me repeat the list, because I want you to know these subjects. I want you to be at peace in your mind what the Bible says about it, so that you won't worry about it. You'll just say, God said it, it's going to happen, and he'll provide a way for us.
Amen.
There's going to be a world government. Now, maybe you don't understand where the scripture says that, but before we're through with this, I'll try to show you in your Bible where that's thus saith the Lord. I'll show you where Brother Bram said that's thus saith the Lord. I could say that's what that scripture means, and you might question, but if I show you where Brother Bram said, you say, yeah, that's what he means. There's going to be a system that's going to control every human being. Buy, sell, work, move, live, die, pay taxes. Buy, sell, the government's going to control you. And it's going to be a number system. Brother Bram said the Holy Roman Empire is going to be reborn and come back into existence. There's going to be a time when they declare peace in Israel. But it's a false peace, because then there's sudden destruction. It talks about their borders. It talks about their Jerusalem. It talks about the Temple Mount, the obligation of the sacrifice for the Jews to be restored. But I want you to know that many of these things, the bride's gone. Now, that's one of the reasons why your pastor's not majored on them. A lot of people sometimes ask me about these things, and I say, look, I don't plan to be here.
Amen.
What I want to know is how to make myself ready.
Yes.
To meet the Lord in death, or to be taken away and translated and changed. If I don't understand every detail about the tribulation and the persecution, and the things they're going to go through with, and the vials and the plagues, I do not plan to be here. But there's some that they've become experts on it. But I'm sorry, but I tell you what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I believe that in my heart. And Brother Bram told me that there'd be a day when he'd introduce me to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I can tell you what I'm going to do now, Brother Larry. I'm going to be crying. Tears of joy. And I'm looking forward to the Lord taking out his big red Texas bandana and wiping my tears away. Says he'll do it.
Amen.
The scripture teaches us that there'll be trouble in the world and it'll be worldwide. We could call it World War III. And I personally believe it has started now. If there's no end to this thing, and it's going to happen around the Euphrates River, why can't this be the beginning?
Right.
I tell you how bad it's going to get. It's going to get to the point that 1/3 of the people of the world is going to die. Well, that's 2 billion people. Because there's 6 billion of us on earth. And then one of the signs it gives us very clearly, everybody's talking about it, it's as it was in the days of Lot. As it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Brother Branham made the statement, quoting Brother Jack Moore, if God doesn't destroy this age, he'll have to repent and raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and give them an opportunity to repent.
Right. Amen.
And we can see this, and I've got some very shocking things to say about this. In fact, I won't tell you one of them now because it'll tweak your ears, but just a few months ago, California passed a law that you can't have separate restrooms in the schools in California. If a boy wants to go in a girl's restroom, a girl wants to go in a boy's restroom, you can't stop them. They made it illegal for our children to stay separated according to their sexual preference or their sexual identity. And it was signed by the governor, passed by the legislature, approved by the judges. Excuse me, but that's insanity.
Amen. Yes.
Many of the Christians out there won't let their kids go to school as a result of that. They're being prosecuted because they're taking their children out of school because they don't want them exposed to that kind of immorality.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know that straight folks didn't do that. If I, as a man, went in a girl's restroom, they'd get me as a child abuser. But look who's in charge today. Look who has more rights than you and I do. I don't know. Maybe you've got those rights. I don't. Okay, now this morning, I concluded by trying to show you a couple of quotes from Daniel's or Gabriel's instructions and sixfold purpose, where Brother Branham talked about what's going to happen at the end time, about the Roman Empire. And I concluded with Revelation 19 because I want you to know that that's when the Lord's going to come.
Amen.
Coming back to this earth. But let's take about six other quotes that we have here that gets us into this Roman Empire and the things that Brother Branham says will happen. And this one is 1964, July the 26th. And it's paragraphs 42 and 47 called Broken Cisterns. Brother Branham talks about the denominations are broken cisterns.
Right.
It's not like us. It's that God pours his spirit into it and the refreshing waters, but there's broken, leaky cisterns. Now, look in the old Roman Empire. That's exactly what led them to that mark of an apostasy. You found out that no man could buy or sell without the mark of the beast. He had to have it. There's only two classes of people will be on the earth. Those with the seal of God and those with the mark of the beast.
Amen.
Which one you want to have?
Right.
Only two classes, so you'll have to have one or the other. It'll be an apostasy, a mark of religion, apostate religion. And it's going to have an image under the beast. As we study, we find out that Rome was, is, and always will be the beast. Exactly. There's no way to get it anything else. Rome. And what did Rome do? Was converted from pagan Rome unto papal Rome. And organized a system, a universal system, that forced everybody to that one religion or be put to death. Now, Brother Branham had read Hyslop's Two Babylons. And he's seen where 68 million had been killed in the Inquisition or else bowed to the Roman Pope. And it's a strange thing that this United States appears on the scene and it's like a lamb. And a lamb has two small horns, civil and ecclesiastical rights. And after a while, when that lamb, we found out that it spoke then like a dragon and exercised all the power the dragon had before it. And the Bible tells us that they said, let us make an image unto the beast. An image is something like something else, and we can see it right now. It's in apostate condition. The church is forming the World Council of Churches, which is the image to the power of Rome, and will force upon the people the same thing that pagan Rome did, or papal Rome did. So there is no other way, no other thing, but that is the truth. And that's why I'm striking it in my age, in my time, because it's got to be struck at. The call, come in, to come out of her, my people, yes, that you be not partakers of her sins.
Amen.
That was Brother Branham's cry. Come out of her, my people. Yes. Now I want to go in 1957 to the Hebrew series, and it's on October the 6th. And we'll be paragraph 733 through 740. Now, the same thing, those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now, that persecution running them back into the homeland. It's shooing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride and they see him, they'll say, that's the one we waited for. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings. That's right. And the church, the remnant of the Jews, when they finally kill these two prophets and they lay in the streets spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified, they send gifts one to another. The world does. Now, Brother Palmer, he's talking to Brother Jack Palmer's friend in Shreveport. Here you are. Look back into the Roman history. And you'll find out there's only one nation in all the world that ever sent gifts after a battle. That's the Roman Empire. That's the reason I say that the Antichrist comes out of Rome. The beast comes out of Rome. It can't come out of Moscow. It comes from Rome. The red dragon that stood at the woman to devour her child, as soon as it was born, that devil, where was the devil? Who was it? Caesar Augustus. That sent forth and killed all the children from 2 years old down. The red dragon. The dragon beast means power. The Roman power persecuted and tried to find that Christ child. Brother Bram puts it all the way back to the birth of Jesus.
Amen.
And that same thing, every time that the Romans, the old pagan Rome, used to have a great victory, they'd send white stones and everything to one another as gifts like that, as a memorial. So those stones that was what it was little gifts sent between the Roman church. Absolutely, exactly. It's got to be. I stood right there in the Vatican City and verified it with the Bible. The Pope wearing a triple crown, vicarius filii Dei. All those things which I've heard and so forth is absolutely the truth. A religious group that governs every nation under the heavens. And it does.
Yes.
There it is. It's those. Nothing against the Catholic people. No, sir. They're just as good as anybody else. Now, it's important that we keep our balance here.
Amen.
He's not speaking against the people. He's speaking against a system.
Right.
And since she's a mother of harlots, that means she's daughter. She's got daughters. And the denominations and churches, individual churches, that puts everybody else out, and has this dictatorial spirit, it originates with papal Rome.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
That's the reason you people don't have somebody to rule over you. That's what God put the Holy Ghost in you to do.
Amen.
And if I can offend that Holy Ghost, then I'm a tough guy. But you just look at yourself. You're free people.
Amen.
You're free. You don't live under bondage.
Right.
They're just as good as anybody else, but their religion is wrong according to the Bible. If this Bible's right, they are wrong. They say they don't. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It's what the church says. We believe that the Bible speaks with a supreme authority. Absolutely, it's God's word.
Yes.
So you see there, these stones that were sent then of Revelations here is the stones that were gifts sent one to another, which only goes to show the Bible said, the Revelation here said, let him that has wisdom count the numbers of the beast. Let him that has wisdom do so and so. Let him that has the spirit of certain gifts do so and so. You see how short the church is?
Amen. Wow.
It's that system.
Right.
You can have that system and be a one-man denomination.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Next one is still in Hebrews. It's 1957. It's October the 2nd. It's paragraph 521 through 526. Now, the Gentiles, now watch. There's yet left 3.5 years for these Jews. Now, Jesus said that the city of Jerusalem will be trod by the Gentiles until the Gentile dispensation. Now, you people that don't believe in dispensations, what about that? Till the Gentile dispensation would be finished. And when the Gentile dispensation is finished, the time of the Gentiles is finished. Then the city would be given back to the Jews. Hold it right there. In 1967, after the Six-Day War, that was in June, Janice and the girls and I were there 30 days after that happened. And when we went to the wall that day, they had not permitted anybody to go up on top of the Temple Mount yet. And when we walked up to the wall, it was only about that high, right there. In the meantime, they've excavated down to the bedrock, and it's 8 or 10 times that high. Massive boulders. But while we were standing there, they blasted out a hole up here, and we were able to go through that hole as some of the first people to go up on the Temple Mount after the Six-Day War. But what happened the week after we were there is the Jewish people wanted to have a celebration at that wall. And so there were 48,000 people that lived inside the walls of the old city. And they actually evacuated that city. And for about 5 days, nobody walked the streets of Jerusalem except the Jews. They had all the Gentiles, the Arabs, move out. Even had the Jewish citizens move out because they didn't want them in the way. While what they did is they went in there and they cleared out the area in front of the western wall. They demolished the houses. They lowered this down to the bedrock and they excavated out. And what I'm telling you is that for 3 days, nobody walked the streets of Jerusalem but Jews. Now, I don't know of any other time that's happened. But I've always felt that was significant. Because the Bible speaks of a time. And Brother Branham said, the time will come when it will be given back to them. And since then, they have controlled Jerusalem. Except the Temple Mount. And for some reason, Moshe Dayan felt it was better to leave them in charge of the Temple Mount and to be able to come in the, not the Eastern Gate, but the Lion Gate, which is on the eastern side. And that's where they come and they have their service and so forth. And the Jewish people and we Gentiles are not even allowed to go up there and pray. Now we can visit it, but we're not allowed to have service. I was up there once with Brother and Sister Linhart and a group of people I had there. And we standing over on one of the little porches on the side of the temple. And I started explaining to them what God had said about anybody that prayed facing this place, that God would hear their prayer and so forth. And Sister Linhart, she raises her hand and they come and arrest me. How many people ever heard that story or never heard that story? Never heard it. Well, I didn't know what to do when they arrested me. And the Jewish soldiers that were in charge of it, they took me over to the side. Boy, they were just reading me the Riot Act in Hebrew. And I didn't know what they were saying, but it sounded like they was fixing to shoot me. And I remembered something that I had heard or read, that down at Rachel's tomb, between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, they'd had an incident down there a few days before where there was a couple that wanted to get married there. And the Arabs would not allow them to have any religious service in there. And they had to have soldiers there in order so the Jewish people would even be permitted to go in. Well, this couple got their wedding party together, and they went in there just casually as tourists and everything else, and then all of a sudden they pop out the canopy, the rabbi steps in place, the couple steps up there, they start saying their vows, and the Arabs hear about it. And they start, and the Israeli soldiers stop them at the door, and the Israeli soldier in charge, he just starts chewing these people out. I mean, he starts shouting at the top of his voice, "You know better than this, this is illegal, it's wrong and everything else." And the rabbi turned to the soldier and said, "You should be ashamed of yourself. This is ours. This is a holy place to us. This couple won't do that." And this soldier whispered to him and said, "Don't you see I got my hands in my pocket?" And he turned away and he kept shouting and hollering and told the rabbi to go ahead. "You shouldn't be in here. You're not supposed to do that." And they went ahead with their service. Well, I happened to notice this soldier that had me arrested was standing there with his hands in his pocket. I said, "Thank you, sir. God bless you. I now know." And walked away from him. You see, they had to do that for the sake of the Arabs, or else they would have had a riot on their hands. So I've remembered that when one shouts at me and he's got his hand in his pocket, he means me no harm. Just another one of my experiences. And I told Sister Linhart to keep her hands in her pocket. I start talking about something, you don't have to tell them over there I'm praying. You don't have to tell them I'm talking about the Lord. Just keep your hands in your pocket. All right. And Jesus went ahead. The Gentile dispensation is finished. The time of the Gentiles is finished. Then the city would be given back to the Jews. And Jesus went ahead to say that the generation said, that the generation said, "When you go out and see the fig tree putting forth its buds and all the other trees budding," and I explained to you this morning about the fig trees, "and all the other trees putting forth their buds and that joining the United Nations. And you know that summer is nigh." How many of you know it's nigh?
Amen.
"Said, likewise, when you see these things come to pass and know the time is nigh at the door. And verily I say unto you that this generation will not pass until these things be fulfilled." Now, they watched for it in that generation. That's what he was talking about. Not at all. Listen, he said, the generation that seen the fig tree putting forth its buds. Now watch. He said the fig tree and all the other trees.
Right.
Now, in other words, there'd be a universal revival at that time. Now watch this prophecy, how it works. In and just blends perfect. Now watch. "All the other trees putting forth their buds," reviving. A tree, when it's putting forth its buds, is reviving. Is that right? Now, anyone knows, a prophetic teacher, that the fig tree has always been the Jew. We know that it's the Jew. Now, look at Joel. When he took it over, he said, "What the palmer worm left, the caterpillar eat. What the caterpillar left, the locust eat. And what the locust eat," if you notice, that's the same insect, different stages. The palmer worm, the caterpillar, the locust, it's all the same bug. It's just different stages of its life.
Right.
Now, watch that same bug begin to eat on that Jewish tree back there, cut it down, and it began to eat and eat and eat and eat till it took it to a stump. But then he said, "I will restore, saith the Lord, all the years that the caterpillar eat up, and I'll make my people a joy." See, now the tree has been eaten down. The Gentiles was grafted into it. That's true. All right. We must bring fruit. Now, restoration of the bride tree is a tape you ought to listen to in light of that. Now, when the end time comes, when we're getting down to the end, if I see it right, the gospel is there supposed to be a great revival taking place.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, did you know? What about this great revival? Folks, when you go back and see what God did in the 50s and the 60s, there hasn't been a ministry of the supernatural manifestation like Brother Branham's ministry known to the world in history. What are we looking for? I don't look for another revival like that one. But look at the fruit of that revival. You and I, this bride, the message believers. The rest of the world has grown. We've got mega churches. And I showed my wife a magazine on the way to church. Brother Tommy Barnett up in Phoenix. In February, he's going to have his 32nd pastor's convention. Now, that's not the one I'm invited to. I told you about this morning. But it announces the prayer meetings, the different sessions, one about the pastor's marriage. It announces a golf tournament 2 days before and 2 days after. On the back page, it's got one that's going to be for the girls called The Irresistible You. And it says, get you a girl. Come and be with us and learn to dance and laugh and talk and have fun. And he's got a picture of a little girl. I'll just have to show it to you. Wild hair, sleeveless blouse, trying to look like a grown woman when she's about 10. Makeup, ear jingles on, rings on her fingers. As immoral looking as you can. And this is what Pentecost has come down to. And if they teach their little girls to do that, what are they going to do when they get to be grown women and mothers?
Amen.
God has to be sick at his stomach at it.
Amen.
It made me say, I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you that on the screen. When I get to this part about the women and the men, I'm going to show you that article. I'm going to let you see those pictures. Because that's where it's headed.
Yes,
no, that's where it's arrived. And I hate to say it, but some of our young girls would rather look like that than like their mother. Some of the young boys would rather date that than they had one of our girls. I don't understand it. I do too. It's evil. It's deception. And when that day comes, let me hear my voice saying that's ungodly. I can't help if it hurts feelings.
Amen.
I'd rather hurt your feelings and offend you than I had God's.
Amen.
Now, did you know that the Jewish flag is the oldest flag in the world and it's been laying dormant for 2,000 years, about 2,500 years? The Jewish flag, the six-point star of David, never flowed for 2,500 years. Since the carrying away of Babylon, and now because the Roman Empire took them over and the Messiah came and they rejected it and they were scattered to the four winds of the earth. But did you know on May the 6th, 1946, that flag came back over Jerusalem again? Did you know that the May the 7th, 1946, the angel of the Lord appeared to me the next day up here and sent me into all the world to bring forth a revival?
Amen.
The very next morning, when that flag raised in Jerusalem, as the going down of the sun that afternoon, the angel of the Lord appeared here in the United States at the same time when you see the fig tree and the rest of the trees putting forth.
Yes.
Folks, we should recognize there's a generation going on here.
Amen.
Then the revelation of Jesus Christ, which the church age came out of, 1961, January the 8th, paragraphs 140 and 141. Looked like when the Roman Empire scattered them, when others scattered them, when they was hated by Hitler tens of thousands times thousands, he shot bubbles in their veins and they died. You could see their bodies hanging on fences and their babies and everything else and bones, and took and made fertilizer out of their bones. Just take them out there and give them a shot, put them in the wagon, then get out. Time they get out near the start, they were singing, Messiah will come and we'll drink the blood of the grape again. When they went down dying, them Jews walking around there knowing in a few little beats and their heart would be gone, and down they'd go singing, we will see the Messiah soon.
Amen.
Oh my, making fertilizer out of their bones. A lot of you soldiers in here know that. You've seen it. I stood on the grounds where they burned them and everything else. There, Hitler and them, and look up to, at Stalin and Russia, and all of them done the same thing. That's right. But that Jew, what was the matter? He was forced back to his homeland. There's where they're standing.
Yes.
I got that great film 3 minutes before midnight. When them Jews come in, it was asked them and said, why are you coming back? For to die in the homeland, said, we've come to see the Messiah.
Amen.
Amen. We're at the end time.
Yes.
God is his own interpreter. 1964, February the 5th, after the seals. I want to point that out to you because these others are all before. Except volume 5 up there. This is paragraph 41 through 43. See where we're at? I believe we're at the coming of the Son of God right now.
Yes.
I believe we're at the age, the very hour that he might appear at any time.
Yes. Amen.
I believe the scriptures declare that, that we're in the last hours of the history of this world.
Yes.
I can see things as they're shaping. See this ecumenical council leading all the churches into it, into the mark of the beast. And see the Roman Empire and what it's doing, and all the rest of them. See them getting together, shutting out the light, shutting off the gospel. Everybody will have to belong to it and walk in their lights, or you won't walk at all. See, we're at the end time. There's nothing left for us but to hold on to God and believe
Amen.
His word. The word is always right.
Amen.
In the Laodicean church age, that was the only church age of all of them that Christ was put on the outside of the church. He was on the outside knocking. What happened? This ecumenical council is what's going to put him out. The Bible said he was to be on the outside, and he is. It shuts out what? The Word. And he is the Word. He's always been the Word, and he's still the Word tonight. He is the Word. The Bible said the Word is sharper, more powerful than a two-edged sword.
Amen.
Hebrews, the 4th chapter, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
The Word was. They should have known who he was when Jesus said that in that day.
Amen.
Now that's what Brother Bram says is going to happen at the end time. Now, it's nothing short of shocking to know that in 2007 there were some major developments that occurred that contributed to the fulfillment of these events prophesied for the end time. I'm going to begin now to review some of these events, and tonight I'm going to have enough time to get into the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, one of the greatest developments in fulfilling the prophecies of the Bible, to me, happened in 2007, was the signing of this treaty that I mentioned this morning called the Lisbon Treaty. And this treaty provides for the creation of a literal United States of Europe. Now, we know the United States of America originally 13 states, now there's 50. But now there's 25 states in Europe that by this treaty signed in Lisbon, Spain in 2007, they are now the United States of Europe. And it will take effect January the 1st, 2009. Now, the Bible prophesies that the Holy Roman Empire will be reborn, and Brother Bram talks about it, just before we enter the last days, the stage of the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus Christ, known as the rapture to us Christians. Furthermore, the Bible talks about an antichrist and a false prophet that will come out of this reborn Holy Roman Empire. And Brother Bram said it will come from Rome.
Amen.
Not Moscow.
Right.
And it will rule the world, and I think that if I've got the timeline straight, it'll be 3.5 years. 1260 days, 3.5 years, like in Daniel and like in Revelations, and like Brother Bram said. Now, the first time that there was anything like the Holy Roman Empire, we can set a date that it started in history. I had to look this up in my history books because I wanted to know, when did this thing start the first time? And on Christmas Day, 800 AD, now that's 800 years after Christ, when Pope Leo III crowned Charlemagne and pronounced him the ruler, the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And for the next 1,000 years, the Holy Roman Empire was ruled that part of the world. And it ended at the defeat of Napoleon in 1814. Now, the Bible speaks of it being reborn. Brother Bram talks about it. And in 1957, there was a treaty signed. And I don't think it was by coincidence that it's known as the Treaty of Rome. Because the Pope and the Vatican pushed it. And they established a European common market. Their thought behind it, which now they will reveal their motives, that if Europe could be unified economically, and I've always told you, follow the money. It always is who controls the money. That's politics. If they could be united economically, that a political union would follow. Now, the economic union was achieved by the early 1990s when there was a treaty signed by all these nations. At that time there was only 13 of them, known as the Maastricht Treaty. It was signed with the intent of leading Europe toward a political union. They all agreed, we'll recognize each other and we will try to solve our differences and come together. And its name was changed at that time from the common market. How many of you remember common market, common market, common market? But it was changed to the European Union. By 1999, the European Union came out with a new banking system and they had a common currency. It was no longer the French franc or the German mark or the English pound. It was the European euro. Came out, it was took about $4 American to buy one of them. Now then they're so strong it takes $1.40 of American money to buy one of them. They're worth more than us. Now, not only did they get a common union of money, but the borders between all these states. First time I went over in 1966, when I took Janice and kids over there, 1967, when we drove from Germany to Holland, we had to give our passports, they had ideas. We go to Belgium, we had to do the same thing. But today, when you go in one of them, you just go from one country to the other, and you're not even checked at the border. Open borders between all of those countries. One country lets you in, you're welcome in all of them. Yeah. Unhindered travel, they call it. Merchandise, all flows back and forth. No tariff, no customs, no duty. Just like between here in California, or here in Utah, or here in New Mexico. The European Union became a fact. Now, in 2004... you see what I'm talking about? 1957, 1990, 1999. In 2004, the states of Europe, they concluded the writing of a constitution for the European Union. Now, this constitution provided for a European president and a European foreign minister, just like we have. Well, not exactly, because their elections are different. They run by parties, but then whichever party's in power, they choose their leader, and they do that. It's not by the popular vote like we are, but they were going to have a president, and they were going to have a foreign minister. Now, in order for this to come into force, this Constitution had to be approved, ratified, by every member of this European Union. If one member rejected this Constitution, it could not be implemented. It could not be started. When France and Holland held their referendum, the Constitution was defeated. France wouldn't accept it. Holland wouldn't accept it. Suddenly, this drive to organize the European Union was halted. They didn't know what to do about it. But in the meantime, they continued to work on it. And by 2005, they had increased the number of states to 25. And the total population of those 25 countries are 500 million people. Now, China has 1.3, India has about 800 million, and European Union would have 500 million, be the third most populous country on earth. And what's interesting is it takes in all the territory which at one time was the Holy Roman Empire. May have a different name, but it's the same country, same people. Meanwhile, these people that wanted this, and even our government talked about one world government, so you can look for a time to come when the whole world is going to be that way. And it may be because things get so bad that they want somebody who can stop this. And he'll have such superpower that everybody listen to him and say, yeah, we trust you, we'll let you do this.
Right.
Or else he'll be so powerful. These people who were organizing this and promoting this, they didn't stop. They kept organizing. And finally they struck an idea. A constitution has to be approved by a majority of the people. But they said, we can't get the people of France and Holland to vote for this. So we've got to fix it somehow so that the people don't have to approve it. So in 2007, see where we come now from 57 to 2007. Started off common market, European Union, common currency, constitution. In 2007, these manipulators, these organizers, these constitutional writers came up with an answer. We will call the agreement a treaty rather than a constitution. That way, according to the constitution of each one of these 25 countries, it only has to be ratified by the parliaments, the legislatures, the government officials. The people elected them, and so they can do that. And so they got the parliaments to approve it. So it's not a constitution, but it's a treaty. And a treaty is binding. Now, after a few cosmetic changes to it, the Constitution became known as the Lisbon Treaty. It was signed by the member states December the 13th, 2007. Now, it was presented to each parliament in 2008 for ratification. And when they all sign it, it has become in force on January the 1st, 2009. This, without a doubt, will complete the prophesied rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire.
Wow. Amen.
Wow.
What manner of people ought we to be?
Amen.
Now, do you remember where it started? It was by the Treaty of Rome, 1957. The time Brother Branham's talking about it. I didn't miss that point. Brother Branham don't mention the common market. He don't mention the European Union. But I believe that this prophet that we admire and we listen to, I believe that he felt this in the spirit. And he warned us that it would come out of papal Rome.
Amen.
Folks, it's just like Bank of America is really the Bank of Rome. It's owned by the Vatican. You haven't seen them talk about it failing.
Amen.
Think about that.
Because eventually, according to the scriptures, they will all lay it at his feet.
Yes.
And they who control the money will eventually hold the political power. Two horns. Ecclesiastical and economic. And who do you know that has the power that the Pope has?
Right. Amen.
He can even call all the other religious leaders of the world together. Even the Muslims. And one's going to come out of America.
Amen. Right. True.
Probably the only way they'll ever get America to join that. But my, we'll trust him. He's an American. In order to make us run for our lives.
Amen.
Signs of the times.
Yes.
More than ever. Well, I've been an hour and a half. The Lord willing, Wednesday night, I want to talk about the peace in the Middle East. What happened in May of last year when 47 nations went to Annapolis, Maryland and met with the President of the United States and the chief rabbis from Israel, and the prime minister of Israel, and the head of the Palestinians were there. And what did they talk about? There was a rabbi from Haifa that we're just now able to find out what the man said. There were these people who were denying the Holocaust and denying that there was ever a temple in Jerusalem. And he stood up and said, "It is forbidden to talk like that. It is forbidden to talk like that." And Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State, said to him very emphatically, "Rabbi, I am the daughter of a priest. I am the granddaughter of a priest. And I know what the Bible says. And I know what you believe. And I know that that will have to be respected for you ever to agree."
Amen.
As a result of that, the chief rabbis of Israel were invited to the White House for 3 days. And what they discussed and said is still a secret. But those rabbis, that Rabbi Cohen, insisted that they be allowed to build a temple on the Temple Mount, that they be allowed to have a synagogue there, and they be allowed to pray. And outside of that, don't talk to us. Now, if you want peace with the Jews, you're going to have to do that. But if they allow that, then there could be peace in the Middle East. But remember, that's a temporary peace. And when there's a covenant and an agreement made that Brother Branham talks about, and I'll bring you the quotes on it, they're going to break that. And when they're going to do, there's going to be a catastrophe, an Armageddon. But I'm going to tell you again, I'm not going to be here.
Amen.
Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Jesus will be there at my Father's house, at my Father's house. Jesus will be there at my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Now, come and go with me to my Father. You understand? To my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come on. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Once again, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace. For Jesus will be there at my Father's house, at my Father's house. Jesus will be there at my Father's house. Now I want to know, did you learn anything?
Amen.
Now, is it going to motivate you to be more desperate with your own life?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I think they're going to be the last time we're going to get to hear these things.
Amen.
Now, I've still got some things that I told you going to talk to you about, like King George V and some things like that that I've got a lot of work into and everything else, and some things still about angels. But I want you to know that I think this is important for us to know the time we live in.
Amen.
Now, I don't think I said it today. But if you want to know what time it is, don't look at your watch, nor calendar. Look at Israel.
Amen.
Look at the Jew.
Right.
And so I want to know what time it is with God, my Father.
Amen.
He's the only one who knows when he's going to call this thing to an end. But he's given us enough signs that people talk about it being a secret and it being sudden and unaware. But if we're not going to know something that everybody else is not going to know, then why does he tell us to watch and pray?
Amen.
We won't be any different than them that don't watch and pray.
Yeah.
But I believe if we watch and pray and we watch these things and see them come to pass, then you and I'll know. And if you want to know what Brother Green's looking for, I'm looking for the resurrection of my loved ones. And I can see an earthquake happening at that time. I can see the world being in chaos and catastrophe. And somebody stand up and saying, hey, I can handle the problem. And people are willing to turn it over to a dictator.
Right.
An antichrist, a false prophet.
Amen.
But I believe the bride will be gone. I really believe that.
Amen.
What comfort and what peace is there, folks? We're told in 2 Thessalonians to comfort ourselves with these words.
Right.
Think of it. Brother Bram talked about these Jews dying in the Holocaust. Well, the bubbles had gone in their veins and they were breathing the gas and they were dying, singing, we will see our Messiah. We'll drink the fruit of the vine.
Yes.
Do we feel that way tonight? Or if we were to face this catastrophe, oh Lord,
Amen.
Let the rocks, no, come on folks.
Come on.
Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. The day of redemption is near. Sun is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with a spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. And again, the day of redemption is near.
Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.
I'm going to tell you too, folks, the preparation is not for you to know all the facts. It's just for you to trust God that He has saved you. And He didn't save you to leave you behind.
Amen.
Brother Brown said the same simple faith that you believe He forgave you of your sins is the same simple faith that you'll walk off this earth with someday.
Amen.
There's people want to talk to you about you got to know this and this and this and everything else. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I won't make it according to some of them. But you know what? I have an assurance in my heart.
Amen.
I'm going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
You want to come go with me?
Amen.
Every night say, Lord, I'm going to be there.
Amen.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you tonight. Yes. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, amen. Just to whet your appetite, you know, it's the first time that England has ever appointed a special ambassador for the Middle East. Tony Blair, that has been the Prime Minister of England for so long, he was so successful in getting the thing in Ireland settled between the factions of the Catholics and the Protestants that they asked him to resign and become a special ambassador, delegate to the Middle East. And he spent his full time trying to bring peace to the Middle East. We've never had a czar like that before. You see, the world knows that there's got to be peace in that area for there to be peace on this earth. Now, what they don't understand is there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes.
Amen.
But before that, there'll be two prophets.
Amen.
Moses and Elijah. Now, I'm Moses. Who wants to be Elijah?
Amen.
No. I know eight sets of Moses and Elijahs in this message. And the interesting thing about it is before they found their partner, all eight of them asked me to be the other one. You know what? I take that complimentary. They really think that I can do something. But then when I turn them down, I'm worthless. I don't know nothing. I'm not spiritual. But you know what? I take that real complimentary. So come go with me, folks. I promise you I'll tell you everything I know. I don't think God will show it to us just to let us know it. I think there'll be a purpose in it.
Amen.
The bride makes herself ready.
Yes.
How do you do that? Draw nigh to God.
Amen.
He'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
What do you recommend? What do I recommend you to do? Read your Bible and pray.
Yes.
Won't you take the book of Revelations and read the first chapter and see what you think the theme is. Read the second chapter and see what you think the theme is. And just make yourself a little out. You can do it on one piece of paper. The first chapter of Revelations, it's the seven candlesticks and there's one in the middle of his hand. Brother Bram tells us that's the church age message and then the Lord.
Right.
And you can do every chapter that way. And what this will do for you, this will let you see when you leave here.
Amen.
After that fourth chapter, you won't find yourself till 19.
Amen.
That's all I ask you to do.
Thank you, Lord.
You can find the vials and the plagues and all that, and you see when they happen and everything else. And you can see the gap and the space in there. It's saying all these things will happen, but look up.
Amen.
Our redemption. The fig tree's already put her buds. All the other trees are there. They're all members of the United Nations. And the whole world's crying for peace in the Middle East. But there will be a peace.
Amen.
There will be a temple built. There will be sacrifices offered.
Amen.
That's about three places in the Bible. But I don't find any place or any reason why a Gentile member of the bride would need a sacrifice, because we already had one. I hear brothers get all excited about the Jews offering a sacrifice. Well, that's not going to save them. It didn't before. The blood of bulls and goats and oxen and doves won't save them. There's only one.
Amen.
What can wash away my sins? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious. The blood of Jesus. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Oh, I know it was the blood. Thank God for the blood. Blood for me. Mercy rewrote my life. Hallelujah. And again, mercy. Unto God for his unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the saints all praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And he shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. And we're going to be one of them. That's not bragging. That's just believing God's word. Have faith in God. I do tonight. I believe the Lord.
Amen.
I believe God has not only saved us by his mercy, but he's able to keep us till that day.
Amen.
And deliver us from all the things that are here. It's going to take miracles. It's going to take angels visiting us and helping us. It's going to take prophecy to keep us informed. So desire to be close to the Lord.
Amen.
Will you?
Amen.
Amen. Before we go tonight, or as we go, let's sing, I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. I am thine. I've heard thy voice. But I long to rise. And be closer, draw to me, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Go thy way and prophesy. Don't disbelieve God's word anymore.